What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Q&A showtime. Let's go ahead and get into it. Brennan says, seems like WWE doesn't have the ability to have two, maybe three hot storylines at a time. Any reason why? Vince McMahon is usually concerned about one program, one act at a time, and dating back 22, 23 years, he'll walk in and say, what do we have for this person? What do we have for that person? Also, he is notorious for blowing his wad early on a lot of shows and a lot of matches and things like that. So the fact that has continued and accelerated is not much of a surprise. Brennan also says, it seems like lately whenever SmackDown is good, Raw is bad and vice versa. What's up with that? The focus. It's the focus on an individual show. At least that's the reaction and reception that I get. There's not a lot more that I can really add to that because I'm not a member of that creative team. But when I ask about that, I just hear it's focus. You got to remember, Vince, even after the Fox deal started, he was not going to SmackDown for months. After the Fox deal started, he wasn't there very often. Nick Aldis, along with a few others, recently said NWA Power is not done for. Any word on that? No word on that. I mentioned last week that Royce Isaacs got out of his deal when he was already out of his deal. They let James Storm. They didn't let him go. His contract expired months and months and months ago, well before all this. And they extended Zicky Dice. They're having him wrestle a few times. Then I would imagine they're having him drop the title on a UWN show. But no word on NWA Power. The contracted wrestlers that I've spoken to have been told that they might be appearing on UWN. As of this moment, the NWA exists in title form. Adam says, do you think with Harold May leaving New Japan, there'll be more of a chance for an AEW partnership of some sort? Yes, I do. I think there will be much more of one, although I can't say that definitively. I just know that we haven't seen one over the last 2 years since AEW formed. So I think we're more likely to see one now. Anthony says, first month of being a subscriber of Fightful Select. As I've come over from the Monday night pod you do with ITR, so enjoying the content so far. Thank you very much. I love doing that show with Kenny. That was one of the ways he pitched it to me, was maybe it would help me gain some subscribers, and that's what we're digging. We're really liking that. What are your thoughts on no referees currently being in the Hall of Fame? I don't like it. I think there should be a staff wing. I think there should be just a wing. I do think there should be a celebrity wing. I think there should be like a manager wing and a wrestler wing. I think they should do that. And teams, factions, all that stuff. I think there should be one for matches, moments, all kinds of stuff like that. Like the matches and moments thing can be for people that aren't necessarily going to go in otherwise. But usually if you have an all-time great match, you'll probably end up making it anyway. When Sonya comes back, what should be her first feud? Well, I think she should come back and get a big couple of wins and challenge for the title. I mean, she needs to win because she lost her last match, but I think that she is good enough to be a champion. I think she's one of the best performers that they have in the company. Do you feel Montez Ford could be a future world champion? Yes, I do. I do. There is just a little bit something else he needs, but I think whatever that something is, he'll gain it, no problem. Kangle says, Sean, do you know if there's someone different writing the WWE pay-per-views than weekly TV? Since the last three pay-per-views have been noticeably improved, but TV is dreadful. Not as much writing goes into the pay-per-views as TV shows. There aren't as many promos, there aren't as many backstage segments. Kangle says, should we take Mandy and Dana as a team going forward, or is this to fill time because Raw was shorthanded? Both. Raw was shorthanded, but I was told that the team was supposed to continue. And Mark says, do you think we'll see them become tag champs? They have good potential. It depends. I don't know what the immediate plans are for the Riot Squad. I would imagine that the Riot Squad would be poised for one since they have went unbeaten in a lot of their recent matches. But I think they'll challenge. I don't think they'll win the tag titles. Matt says, tremendous review on the perspective of the memories of Animal in your article. Just wanted to say it brought a smile to my face and made me go back and watch a few matches. Thanks, SRS. Hashtag FTF. Thank you very much. I can't advocate the way that Animal behaved on social media in recent years. I thought it was really gross and I didn't like it. but I had a lot of fond early memories of Hawk and Animal as characters, and they were instrumental in me liking pro wrestling. Darrell says, asking for a friend, what steps can someone take to be a manager or ring announcer without a specific connection into the business regardless of gender? Work on your promos, not just for you. Work on your promos for other people. Cut promos for people on the indies and whoever they're going to face. You can kind of send that in to promoters specifically. That would be more of a promoter thing. You're probably not going to latch onto a specific act because, quite frankly, if you are managing an act and you become as much of an attraction as that act, they got to pay for you and they got to pay for that act. So it's better to apply that towards promoters, and you might end up managing two or three people in an independent show. Avoid the sunglasses. Avoid those stupid colorful jackets. Avoid all those tropes that you see. There are so many independent wrestling managers that are just like, okay, I'm going to wear sunglasses. I'm going to wear one of those stupid shiny jackets and a pair of pants. Okay, we've seen that 100 times. We've seen it 100 times. We've seen it more than 100 times. Every manager on the indies does that, and except for Stokely. And look what happened. Stokely got signed. So, yeah, just avoid that. But reach out to promoters. Quite frankly, you're probably going to be working for free initially because managers are not in high demand. They got plenty of people that help out with the show that will already do that for free. Darrell says, who do you think should be Asuka's next challenger for the Raw Women's title, and who do you expect them to actually give it to? It should be Bianca Belair. She's won a bunch of matches. So I think it should be her. But it'll probably be somebody completely different. I don't think that they'll really establish anybody until after the draft, and then it'll be somebody after the draft. Darrell also says, does it look like Kushida will finally get a big push and make a run at the North American or NXT Championship if he's healthy? He should. He should beat Velveteen Dream, and he should challenge Johnny Gargano, who's who I expect to emerge from that match as champion. I think that he should challenge him for the title. Matt says, do you believe it will be Bo Dallas returning to NXT at TakeOver 31? I can't imagine that being a good idea. I don't think that's a good idea whatsoever. I think that's a very bad idea. I don't think it'll be him. Sheila, good friend of the show, Sheila, says, I know you ranted about this last night, but it bears repeating. What is even the point of a draft? Drew Gulak and Dana Brooke don't even appear to question why they're on Raw. They're just there. As the draft is next week, it's just frustrating to watch WWE make and break their own rules. That's the thing. Like, I don't mind WWE making up their own rules. I do care about them breaking their own rules. Because what that shows me is that they don't care. And if they don't care, then why am I expected to care? Why is a normal viewer of the show who just tuning in every once in a while expected to care? Much less the people that tune in every week and give WWE the courtesy of watching and attempting to enjoy that show. It's very frustrating. They were doing very good with the brand split. Outside of the Charlotte stuff and the brand-to-brand invitation, they were doing very, very good. And then they just botched it. Like, did you need to have Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro show up for that match? You could have just used it on Dana Brooke and said that she wanted to challenge for the tag titles and saw Mandy as a way to do it. Maybe they built a bond on SmackDown. She saw Mandy go over to Raw. She said, hey, you know what? Maybe we can talk them into letting us use this brand-to-brand invitation. We can team up. We can try to win these titles. Since we're on different brands, it's really the only opportunity we got unless we're on a pay-per-view. It's annoying, man. They've got enough loopholes. Dana could have won the 24/7 title for the love of God and then popped up on Raw. I don't care if somebody's on Raw if they've got that thing. It's defended at all times. It's so annoying. Sheila also says, not to sound too pessimistic, but do you see the NWA lasting a few more years? A couple of their talent have gone to AEW and WWE this year, and their first pay-per-view that was headlined by Aldis and Mike Bennett didn't do too well due to technical problems. Well, that wasn't on NWA, that one specifically, but no, I don't think they'll be around in a few years, at least as they were constructed earlier this year. I think that they'll probably end up hitting the bricks before then, or selling, and I don't think that would be the worst thing. I just don't know who they'll sell to. If I'm AEW, I probably try to buy that library if I can. Tony Khan for a future like AEW Network, him getting a hold of the NWA content, that would be a coup. Sheila says, will we see more absences in WWE and AEW the next few weeks relating to the COVID situation? Is it foolish for any wrestling company to continue doing any shows in Florida since they lifted their restrictions? Well, it depends on the testing coming in. If they do testing coming in and people test negative, I don't have as much of a problem with it. I think it's foolish to be running wrestling shows in general, but you got to do it to stay afloat. You got to do it to make money. So I understand why they are doing it. Yes, we will see more absences on WWE and AEW for the next few weeks related to COVID. Yeah, you will. There are some that people don't even know about. I'm not going to name them, obviously, because that's their business, but there's plenty of them, and some of the absences are glaring, but they got to run, and it just so happened that their home bases were Florida or Jacksonville and Orlando. If it were Des Moines and St. Louis, then they would be running there too. It's just a matter of circumstance, really. And was more than the opportunity they were provided by Florida being just stupid. Matt says, with the report that James Storm is going to appear after Mania pre-COVID, how would you have wanted him to be booked after appearing? I would want him with Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode. James Storm and Bobby Roode are one of the best tag teams I've ever had the joy of watching. And there's not a lot that they did during Beer Money that I couldn't imagine that they could physically do again. I think a good year-long run with Beer Money would have been really, really great. Dev says, what are your thoughts on Melina's initial WWE run, and how would you like to see her used upon her rumored return? I wouldn't mind seeing her. God. It just hit me. Melina and Zelina. That's going to happen. Melina and Zelina. That is going to happen. Oh, boy. I thought she was fine in her first run. She was one of those people that were not brought in, kind of like Zelina, was not brought in to be a wrestler and then got thrust into the wrestling role and did pretty good. She, like many others, was a victim of an era when they, being WWE, were like, oh, well, you know what? 2-minute matches. I think she could have done a lot better. I mean, she had the greatest match of all time, Melina versus Alicia Fox, according to Cameron, so at least we know that happened. But I like Melina. I like Melina personally, too. She was very nice to me when we did our interview, and you can tell that a lot of the vitriol that she got really affected her. But I've heard that she's very easy to deal with these days, too. Dev says, which member of Retribution do you think has the highest upside and chance of shaking the stink of their gimmick? Mercedes or Dijak, probably. Probably those two. Eloquent says, now that it appears people can travel to Japan again, when do you think Kenta versus Moxley can happen? After the Full Gear match or after the Archer match? I don't know which comes first. It'll probably be one of those two, I think. I'm sure that they can figure out other ways to make that happen too. But I don't think AEW wants Jon Moxley losing a match until he loses the AEW title. If that happens, they can make something of it. They can make something of Jon Moxley having a rough go of it. But right now, if I'm AEW, I say, sorry, you ain't beating our champion. Hunter says, howdy, SRS. Question about the AEW entrance theme. Do AEW have in-house producers to help with the wrestlers' themes? Yes, they have Mikey Ruckus, who is very good. Lakers or Heat, who you got? Lakers, but I got to tell you, I'm looking at this as I am a Raptors fan. I was a Bulls fan for most of my life because I grew up in the Jordan era, but I love the city of Toronto. I love the city of Toronto more than any other city in the world. That city is so great, and the people in it have given me so much, and I enjoyed the Sky Dome when I was younger. It was the cool new stadium in baseball. The Blue Jays were really good back then. I played for Blue Jays Little League team, so I have an emotional connection to the city of Toronto. I'm looking at this as a Raptors fan, but before all that, above all being a Raptors fan, I am a Kentucky basketball fan, a University of Kentucky basketball fan. They are about 50 minutes away from me. I don't think I can properly convey to people who live outside of Kentucky how important college basketball is here, and if they put an NBA team here, I would love it. I would immediately become a Kentucky basketball fan in the NBA. But John Calipari has led us to a level of competition that we haven't seen in the decade that preceded it. But he's never had a player from his team that he recruited at Kentucky go to the NBA Finals and win. Never in the last 10 years. And it's a matter of just complete coincidence, because there's been like 40 NBA players of varying degrees of success, starters, all-stars, end-of-the-bench guys on every single team. So it's not like, oh, well, they got drafted to bad teams. It's just a coincidence. And now you've got Anthony Davis on the Lakers. You got Bam and Hero on the Heat. So I'm very happy in that regard. Also, I've got a ton of respect for LeBron. I know that's the longest answer I've given on this podcast. I'm sorry. Will you and SRS be doing an NBA draft stream again? I doubt it. That is on a Wednesday, and we have the Wednesday Night War, and there are not as many players that I am emotionally invested in this NBA draft. There is not a Ball that I am going to be excited to see get drafted. There's Tyrese Maxey from Kentucky, who is mid to late first round. There's Ashton Hagans, who's probably going in the second round. Emmanuel Quickley, who's probably going in the second round. And Nick Richards is probably going in the second round. So I don't think that we'll be doing that this time. Maybe Jeremy will, if he wants to. I'm not going to stop him, especially as well as last time went. Answer DeBross says, is there any specific reason why WWE really decided to push Bayley and Sasha during the summer, and were they happy with the results? Yeah, WWE was very happy with the results. This, from what I understand, it was supposed to happen a little bit sooner, and then it got delayed a little bit. But yes, from what I understand, they were happy with the results. COVID changed everything. Changed everything. Young Bibby says, can you play SmackDown vs. Raw 07 for Fightful Gaming? I think that Jeremy has some sort of plan in order to do something like that, although I shouldn't speak for him. He also says, how do you think we will be in a year from now in terms of having fans? How will the AEW and WWE be? And when do you see WWE traveling to different cities like they were before? I think they'll travel to different cities this year. I really do. I think they'll jump the gun on it. I don't like it, but I think they will. I think they will implement AEW's plan locally and spread it out across the country, or at least the Southeast, maybe the East. At first, it's almost become like a regional territory again. But I think that we'll be back to normal, hopefully by the end of next summer. But that's, I'm not a medical professional or a disease control specialist. Do you think people like Marcus Corvan, Elijah Burke, Chris Masters, and Mr. Kennedy could have been bigger stars in WWE? Yeah, all four of them. Marcus Corvan should have been the guy in TNA as Monty Brown. He should have been the guy. Elijah Burke could have been really good, but they never let him show his personality. They had a typecast standard that they like to follow for their superstars. Big and muscly and yada yada. Elijah Burke could have been really great for them. Chris Masters, the first go around? I don't think so. Chris Masters, the second go around, after he had worked so hard to become a really good pro wrestler and was good in the ring? Yes, I think he could have been. At the very least, he could have been a good tag team wrestler. Guy is only 37 years old right now. I think he'll be 38 in January. And there's so many, you could put him in a tag team tomorrow with a team, and he would add to them. He is a good wrestler now. He's leaned out a bunch. He's not the guy a lot of you all remember from 2015. I mean, I know that he, at least for a while, maintained good relationships with John Morrison and Shelton, Lashley and Orton and all that. And I think Orton even went to bat for him like a decade ago. But, I mean, there's so much story to this guy that people don't know. I remember when he had saved his mom from, I think, a burning building at one point. It was just, there's stuff to tell with him. He is one of the more underrated names that isn't signed anywhere. And unfortunately, he has the stigma of that 05 push when he came in and he was a muscle guy and he was pushed down everybody's throat, and it just wasn't great. But he works like Black Label Pro and bar wrestling, a lot of places like that, and does really well. He teams with Carlito here and there, too. I know that he did in Qatar or whatever that may be. I wish he would get another look. I really do. And that's not something I thought I would say 15 years ago, because I did not like him at all 15 years ago. Mr. Kennedy, yes, he could have. Victim of injuries and circumstances. It's where we are. Den Unlimited says, if Melina really returns to WWE, who would be the best feud for her? I think they, if she's coming back, she should come back right before she and Zelina are drafted to SmackDown. She should face Asuka and lose to Asuka, because that's a name from the past. What do you honestly think of Io Shirai's title reign? A little underwhelming, but it's not her fault. The matches are good. Who in WWE would most benefit from a move to AEW right now? Said it a million times, Ember Moon, without a doubt. She checks all the boxes for what AEW needs for their women's division. Great in-ring performer, experienced on TV, a veteran of the ring, knows how to work, can teach other people how to work, is critical of work as well, checks all the boxes. Where's Raw Underground filmed? I believe at the venue, just off to the side, I think. Because it seems like most of the people that I talk to, they're filming it during the show. So it's obviously somewhere where they can't hear everything, but I don't have a specific like GPS location on that, unfortunately. But I believe it is in the venue. Do you think Vince will come under pressure more with investors on ratings? Have a nice day, and F that F. Yes, I do think he will. If they continue to decline until the next quarterly call, we're going to hear more people on that call hammer him about that, because we never really heard that a lot. I mean, we heard some stuff like, oh, what are you going to do about creative? What are you going to do about this? Every caller was hammering him about the numbers, because now the investors on that call that got to ask those questions, they know the drill. They know that better content leads to better numbers leads to more money across the board. We talk about how WWE's deal came about and how much money they made despite the falling numbers. What if the numbers didn't fall? Huh. Cameron says, how long was AEW's second show going to be if it happened? And was last Tuesday's show basically a test of that? From what I understand, the show last Tuesday was more of a test of when they can put specials on with NBA lead-ins. I don't know how long the second show is going to be. They hadn't even like really launched any major plans for that. They're talking about like hopefully in a year they'll have that show. Currently rewatching old stuff from the 2000s and wondering if you had any idea of when Matt Hardy and Lita started dating. I do not know. I have never concerned myself with personal stuff, but so I don't know that. King of the North says, with Harold May seemingly gone, does this give us any possible traction with Impact or AEW working with New Japan? I think it does more than what we saw before, but that's it. I don't think that it necessarily really drives it, but I don't know the relationship between AEW and Harold May specifically. Tony Khan was on the latest episode of Shot of Brandy. How do you feel about basically the owner of the company doing these appearances on his talent's content? I think it's great. I love it. I think it's a good idea. It's harmless. Why not? I mean, I know there will be people, oh, he should be focusing on his show or his soccer team. Man, people can do whatever they want. I think it's great. Good for him. Hate to put you on the spot like this, but I feel like NXT has lost a bunch of luster since moving to NXT. Can I get your thoughts on the state of NXT? I think NXT has become Raw or NXT Lite. Actually, I shouldn't say that. It's souped up Raw or SmackDown. It's better than those shows, but the booking has become like Raw, and you know that it's viewed as Raw Lite within the company. I think that they could do a lot more creatively satisfying stuff. I am so tired of people getting 50-50'd, and then it's like, boom, they're in a gauntlet match. Boom, they're in a ladder match. Boom, fatal five-way. Boom, battle royal. Win a bunch of matches, get a title shot. They did that with Killer Cross, Karrion Kross. It worked out pretty well. They should be doing that with a lot more people. Jake asks, what needs to be done with Money in the Bank and Otis to make it feel relevant again? With the draft coming up, does it make it more sense to have him switch to Raw? Or is there anyone on either brand who can win it off of him that seems appropriate to challenge either Roman or Drew? I know it sounds crazy, but I'd have Roman win it. Right now, I'd have Roman win it and walk around with the title and the briefcase and say he's got no worries. In the past, you've talked about the difficulty in hitting the black mass. What is the most difficult finisher to hit, and what's the most difficult painful to take? Well, I've not taken all those finishes. There are a lot of submission finishes I've taken that when somebody locks it in, yikes, it really hurts. Like, the ankle lock is very easy to cover up, but when it's applied, Jesus, man, it sucks. I would say the black mass is probably the most precise when it comes to actually hitting a move that you have to be. It is very difficult. When I had to teach myself that move, and it's if you all go back and watch Edson Barboza knocking out a guy, it was Terry Etim in the UFC. It was the black mass. It was a spinning wheel kick, and I thought it was the coolest knockout I've ever seen. And I trained for like 6 months every single day learning that move. But the thing is, when you learn that move and you're teaching it yourself in an MMA perspective, you're not trying to protect somebody. You're trying to knock somebody out. So you have to be more precise when you're protecting somebody than when you're like, okay, I don't care if it lands on his chin, his ear, his forehead. I just want it to land, ideally the jaw, so you can knock him out. That takes an incredible amount of restraint, control, and precision. It is very difficult. The most painful finisher I've ever took might surprise you. We used to do what were called open house matches at our catch wrestling and MMA gym. And when we did our pro wrestling training, it was on a boxing ring. So we would tighten the ropes really tight because the boxing ring ropes were really loose. And the boxing ring has no give. It has no bounce. It has no spring. They're 2x20s. It doesn't have a lot of padding. And I took basically Gold Dust's finish on there. It wasn't from Gold Dust, that I assure you. But I took that move, and it was a spinning suplex. It's what Peyton Royce has been using lately. And there are some moves that you take, and you bump up, and you'll bounce, you'll bump and feed. When I took that move, there's a video of me, and I just stuck to the mat. And I was just like, ugh, that one sucked really bad. So I can't speak for everybody else, but the most painful one I took was that. And yeah, it was not fun. It was not fun. I was knackered after that one. Depending on when you film this, what are your thoughts on the Reds in the playoffs and the playoff predictions? Scary team with Bauer, Castillo, and Sonny. Well, as I film this, Trevor Bauer had a great performance on Wednesday. Reds lost in 13 innings. I'm watching game two while I film this. And Castillo is dealing. It's 0-0 again, and I love a pitching duel, but it's still 0-0. I'm watching this in the bottom of the fifth, 0-0. Castillo dealing too. I'm just enjoying it. If this is the last game of the Reds season, I can sit here and say that I've enjoyed these two baseball games more than any that I've enjoyed in the last probably 7 years. I did get to see Aroldis Chapman's comeback after he got hit with a line drive in 2014. That was very cool. I was there for that. But this is 2020. It's a crazy year. I didn't even think we'd get baseball, much less Reds in the playoffs. So I'm just having fun and enjoying it. I'm happy. Michael says, want to thank you for all the content and say love it all. Been a subscriber for a few months. You and your team are the best. Hey, I hope you guys follow us over to Fightful.com whenever we move Fightful Select there. Boy, do I have some cool plans for that. So we'll keep you all updated on that. I know Jimmy had said, oh, late September. That ain't happening, obviously. It's October now. That ain't happening. But I'll keep you all updated on that, and I hope you all follow us over. We'll make it worth your while to make that switch because we will be discontinuing Patreon, but that's still a ways away. He asks, is there anything new on James Storm heading to Raw? No. Anyone backstage going to bat for tag team wrestling at all? Yes, a lot of people. There's one person not going to bat for tag team wrestling, and that's the most important thing in that regard. One thing I always wondered, why doesn't WWE enforce something about too many people doing the same moves? 30 people doing suicide dives, super kicks, spears, and frog splashes is getting ridiculous. I agree. Super kicks, I don't mind. If it's somebody's finish, their finish, then yes. Spear, yes. I wouldn't have everybody doing a spear. That's Roman's move. It's his. Other people stop doing it. If Edge is there, he can do it. If Goldberg's there, he can do it. Frog splash, I love that Sasha Banks does it. She does a good one. Dominic does it for obvious reasons. I think he should save it for very special moments. That is Montez Ford's move now. That's his. It belongs to him. Suicide dive, I don't want to see anybody doing suicide dives with those dumb little like, oh, I'm going to lean out of the ropes and do, I'm going to cross my arms and shove somebody. That sucks. That sucks. The agent's got to do something. Ron Patel says, all questions would be in reference to No Profanity September. Has this month been extremely difficult for you? Does it feel like an alcoholic giving up drinking? I don't know. I've never had an addiction like that, and I don't want to compare it to that. But no, it was very difficult the first half of the month. This last half of the month, especially this last week, it's been second nature. There are times I've caught myself cursing. I've looked at my Twitter to make sure that I didn't curse or anything like that. I don't do it as much in my daily life, and I like that. And he says, have you reduced the amount that you curse outside of podcasts and social media conversations at home? Yes, I have. I have a lot. And I'm glad. I think you were trying to show me something there, and I agree. I agree with it. And I don't do it as much. And I like that. I do. Now, me saying that I cursed some of Man of the People in Quizzlemania, that was a gag, obviously. That was a bit. And then he says, has this experience allowed you to be more descriptive and articulate better in conversations and writing rather than just going straight to profanity? I would like it if Fightful does some more charitable things that would help improve your community. Oh, we're always doing stuff like that. We did Sammy for Syria. We did the thing with Nightmare Collective. We did the thing for Jacksonville's Love Alive charity that Elijah Burke does. Wigs for Kids, Maggie's Wigs for Kids. We're always doing something like that. So I'm always looking for ways and avenues to do that. I happen to think I am rather eloquent with my cursing. If I'm cursing anymore, you know it's going to be for a reason. Yeah. Becky Day Carter says, how much of the WrestleMania card do you think they've got locked in at this point? None. I don't think they have any. I think they should do Roman Reigns versus The Rock, and I think they should delay Becky and Sasha until then. Darren says, do you think that The Rock is the best opponent for Roman at WrestleMania to continue on the family story, or do you think it would make more sense for them to build a Big E up? He wins the Rumble, so they face off for the title. Hey, Big E could end up on Raw. Like, we're looking at a draft here. Big E could face Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania. And to me, The Rock and Reigns, a promoted Big E and Drew McIntyre and Sasha and Bayley, that's a good fixture. Can you see John Cena ever winning the IC title to finally become a Grand Slam champion? No, but I would like it if they did. They can have him win it at WrestleMania, lose it the next night on Raw, because I don't think he's going to be around much anymore. Chris says, when do you think we'll see an AEW world title change on Dynamite, and do you see Moxley, the guy that drops it? I think that when they do it, it'll be a babyface, because they had that big Brody Lee TNT title change. I think it'll be a babyface winning it. That very much gives me Lex Luger, Hogan vibes. I mean, I don't know how many of you were watching when that happened, but I was an 11-year-old kid. Hogan had been champion for a year, running things with the NWO. Lex Luger racks him, and it was just insane. Won the title on Nitro, lost it a few days later, still remembered as a historic event. Goldberg winning the title on Nitro. That one was huge as well. Same with Jericho and his Phantom title win. Becky says, do you know what kind of conversations occur with the talent around draft time? Is it more, would you be interested in moving brands? Or, hey, you're going to X brand. There are some that have indicated to me that they know where they'll be. Right now, it doesn't matter, really. I mean, right now, as far as traveling goes, it does not matter. You're in Orlando no matter what. Previous years, it's been different. They did not do much communicating, if any, with people before the superstar shakeup last year, and it showed. I think there was more done before the draft, though. There are a lot of people that used to find out where they were going to be drafted on the air, and that did not sit well with them. They did not like that. Aiden says, let's say we're talking 2025. Who do you think will have the most titles in history? Flair, Cena, Triple H, Orton. My money is on Randy. What's yours? I think it'll still be Flair and Cena. I think it'll still be them. He also says, I believe Mandy and Dana have a great future, in my opinion. They delivered on Raw Talk. Can you see any chance of success? Yes, I definitely can. I think they can both be very good. I think that Dana is better than a lot of people realize. She's improved dramatically over the last year and a half. He says, Keith Lee, I don't watch NXT, haven't, period. I now see him on WWE. I've been looking at him since his debut, and there's a difference between a big, strong, heavy guy. I'm certain Keith Lee put in the singlet because he sees him as overweight. The fans are behind him. Is he too overweight for success? No, not at all. Not at all. Eloquent says, how much heat does CM Punk have with the current WWE locker room? Roman alluded that he doesn't seem to have many fans backstage. Well, he doesn't. He's alienated a whole lot of the roster, even those that were his friend. I asked Kofi Kingston in an interview, hey, do you keep in touch with him? No, not at all. Not at all. They used to ride a bus together and play video games together and were buddies. Really close friends. Nope, they don't keep in touch. Corey Graves went on the record with me about it. No. And not only that, he doesn't like how he treated people. Hornswoggle, not in the locker room, but said that CM Punk got upset for him, or upset about him asking for somebody's number completely separate. Roman's career was made a lot more difficult by CM Punk doing the make Roman look strong thing. That stuck with Roman Reigns, so I get it. I understand that. Roman feels like that's an obstacle that was thrown in front of him that wasn't necessary. Ben says, Eddie Kingston said he was shooting on someone with the Sour Patch Kids promo on BTE, but no one in the comments seems to have a clue who. Do you have any idea or a hunch? No clue. A few weeks ago, you said on Listen to Your Voice, some WWE wrestlers don't want to re-sign. Any big or quite big names, do you think AEW could raise some eyebrows by poaching them? I don't think big names that spoke to me. And big names is a relative term. But no, I do think that AEW would probably steer clear of them because they've got enough right now. But I mean, there are definitely some. There's another that is a fairly big name but hasn't quite emerged yet. Ben says, although maybe unlikely, I've been wondering what would happen if AEW made an aggressive move with their second show and counter program SmackDown. Just for fun, how do you predict the ratings for the two shows would be? And could AEW even do damage to WWE's big money contract with Fox? They could do a little bit, but I think they'd be sitting at about, 500,000 viewers on a Friday night. They've got a much younger audience that goes out and does stuff. Anakin says, can you explain what it is about karate you don't like and why you would recommend judo or jujitsu over karate? What are your thoughts about kung fu? Kung fu sucks as well. Karate gives you a very false sense of security. It is not effective. Most of the martial arts experts that you see there or that teach karate, basic karate, I'm talking your local dojos, have never been in an actual fight, have never been in an actual competition. They've got about like 7 Hall of Fame plaques and all that trash, and they've never actually done the work. It's not practical, by and large. It's not. Taekwondo can be practical. Taekwondo helped me an awful lot with the speed of my kicks and the technique of my kicks. Judo is infinitely, infinitely more effective, especially in the clinch. You're learning how to throw somebody. You're learning how to use somebody else's momentum against them. You're learning some really good holds as well. Karate doesn't traditionally teach you that stuff. Maybe some places do, but traditionally not. All that crap you see on Cobra Kai is such a weird cultish thing, and the show's okay, but it really is that stupid and that cultish environment. Jiu-jitsu, I would, if I had to recommend something for kids, I would recommend jiu-jitsu. Maybe catch-as-catch-can wrestling. You learn a lot more there as far, by the way, of submissions and transitions, positioning, and a lot of that. I think jiu-jitsu is great. And it's primarily submission-based, not as much takedowns either. Has there been any talk between AEW and Sarah Stock? AEW could use someone like her to help with the women's division. Not that I've heard of, but yes, they certainly could. While on YouTube, I came across a video running down all the competitors for the Cruiserweight Classic and was surprised to see Zack Sabre Jr. and Kota Ibushi there. Any idea why neither signed long-term contracts with WWE? They didn't want to. A lot of those people were under very low contracts when they were brought in for the UK, and he passed it up. He didn't want to do it, and I think he turned down an offer from WWE because he had other goals at that time. Kota Ibushi, he very clearly had other goals. From what I understand, he just wanted to work that tournament, and you know, it's a thing he can say that he always did. He worked a WWE match. Sean says, do you think WWE WrestleMania will be held in a smaller venue if there's capacity restrictions, which there most likely will be? Yeah, I do. I think they'll hold it in a very at a much smaller venue, and they'll push everything back. Do you think Adam Cole will be drafted? I didn't until this past week, and now I think there's a real possibility since they might be splitting Undisputed Era. But I don't know. Chris says, why is AEW commentary so bad with surprise debuts and returns? They're either over the top like Butcher, Blade, and the Bunny, or they're stunned in silence like they couldn't recognize Cody's music. I agree. They should have recognized Cody's music. I have watched so much Impact Wrestling that it's hard for me to complain about AEW because Impact's is the dirt worst about that. AEW and WWE are both running similar stories with Sasha and Bayley and Hangman and Omega that seem to be going in opposite directions. AEW's story feels like it's stuck in neutral, while WWE seems like it's being rushed. I disagree with that. I completely disagree with that. I think WWE's is being rushed, but I think the Hangman Omega thing is really good. It seems like it's being stuck in neutral because you've seen so much WWE stuff rushed. You don't have to do that. Hangman saying he still wants to be in a tag team 1 week, Omega saying he doesn't the next week. That is just, it's good storytelling that isn't compromising the entirety of the show. You're stretching it out without beating you over the head with it, quite literally. And I think that, you say, is this me being the prototypical wrestling fan that's never happy? I hate to say that, but it seems like it. I think there are things to like in the Sasha Bailey thing, but my God, Sasha got pilmanized for 10 minutes. Why is she on the show right now? It's unreal. Do you think Retribution will gain a small cult fandom because of how they've been trolling social media? Yes, I do. I think that's probably their goal at this point, and they're doing it very, very well. Have you watched any of the NXT UK relaunch? I haven't. I'm going to binge watch it eventually. Who is it that Nick Aldis has heat with in WWE that won't allow Aldis to go there? It seems like Bruce Prichard, based on their interactions. When do they decide to announce weight, hometown for certain performers, and why is it not the same for everyone? That's something that's usually discussed with the wrestlers and then decided upon before they do it. Jim says, do you see Chris Daniels and Chris Jericho ever feuding at this point? Feuding? No. Having a match? Yes. They gotta have a match. Neither one of them have ever had a full-on match, and they need to. It'll probably be a promoted Dynamite match, a big one. Do you know if the time on Daniel Bryan's contract is still running since he's working behind the scenes or a producer instead of just sitting home? I don't know that. I will ask and I will find out. Is Vince McMahon not a fan of the long, elaborate introductions Michael Buffer used to do in WCW? I feel like listing someone's credentials makes them feel more special. I don't know if he is a fan of those. I don't know what his personal preference is of that, but if he was, we would see it. He would make sure it happened. Drew McIntyre, Samoa Joe, Daniel Bryan. Which one of these guys would you like to see take part in the G1? Can only choose one. Can be in their primes if applicable. Daniel Bryan, without a doubt. Ray says, no question this week. Just wanted to say thank you to you and all the Fightful staff for what they do. I know you see the stresses that a teacher goes through, so I appreciate you. I appreciate having the Fightful community keep my spirits up. The school year, this one especially, has definitely been a stressful one for teachers. So major respect to people like that, that are going through all that. Eloquent says, given the outbreak, does Roman have any newfound trepidation about performing? I don't think so. I'm sure that he had more now than he would have normally, but I don't think so that based on what I've heard. I'm pretty sure he's creatively satisfied too, at least based on those that I speak to. But he obviously had some kind of trepidation, or else he wouldn't have done it, or he wouldn't have sat out. Any word regarding Raw Underground this past Monday night and if it'll be back next week? Yeah, we posted an update on Fightful Select about this. It was an unnecessary risk. I don't think it'll be back next week, but I could be wrong. They just didn't film anything. Towards the end of 2019, Triple H said the third Mae Young Classic would be this year, and I'm curious whether or not the pandemic canceled the event. Yeah, pandemic changed everything. That threw a wrench in their plans. They didn't have firm plans, from what I understand, but this took it out of the possibility. What are your thoughts on how AEW has handled some of their non-contracted talent? We're coming up on 3 months where Ivelisse and Diamante have worked without guaranteed contracts. Pretty good. Ivelisse and Diamante worked their deals and won. Thunder Rosa was in really good spots and won a lot. Matt Cardona was brought in some prominent spots, won a couple matches. Completely fine with it. They're not just completely burying people. I like it. And he says, I get their exposure is an aspect, but to me it doesn't seem right, particularly in this example. I don't have a problem with it. I like it. Any update on when Carmella will be returning to TV? Pretty soon. With Florida essentially dropping their coronavirus restrictions and WWE's deal with the Amway Center expiring at the end of October, do you see WWE running with crowds in the state in November? And have you heard of any of this news being in the works? Yes and yes, I do think that will happen. And yes, I have heard a little bit about it, but that's out there. I'll be posting a thing about the superstars' reaction pretty soon. Any news on Chris Hero? Nope. Not a bit. Hasn't wrestled since March, since before everything, but nope. No word on him yet. I see him active on social media here and there on Instagram. How do you feel about teams like the North and Motor City Machine Guns openly wanting to work for FTR and the other teams in AEW? I don't blame them. They should probably keep pushing for interactions and co-promotions. I think that's good. Do you think AEW has already signed Ben Carter? I think maybe they're keeping it quiet for now. They have not signed Ben Carter as of now. I have an interview with him next week, by the way. Nathan says, we've heard when and where everyone thinks Sasha and Bayley, but who do you think will win? Thanks for all your awesome work. Sasha will win because Bayley won the big one. This is the next big one. It just makes sense. And then eventually, way down the line, they can have another big one. But to me, you know what they'll do. They'll do this match 6 times and make you never want to see it again. Jonathan says, thanks SRS for great content. That being said, go Braves. What's Ivelisse's status with AEW? I hate the Braves right now. They're up 1-0 in the 7th, so it doesn't look good. Ivelisse is, whenever she has appeared there, she's been on short-term agreements. I have no interest in watching NXT when they compete with AEW. What's the status of NXT moving to another night? As mentioned, USA has brought it up to WWE, and they have seemed receptive. Triple H almost seemed offended at the idea yesterday. It's like, I don't see anybody else talking about AEW moving nights. Well, AEW can't move nights. They can't do Tuesdays and Thursdays because of the NBA. They ain't going to do Monday and Friday because they're in a worse spot than they're in now. And nobody's moving their show to Saturday or Sunday because of the death slot. Wednesdays are the night. That's just how it is. I know that USA has wanted them to do it. Or at least felt them out about wanting to do it. Jay says, SRS with James Storm almost signing with WWE. Is there a chance he does sign with NXT? I don't think he'll go to NXT. I don't. I think that if he shows up, he'll be on the main roster doing stuff with probably Robert Roode. How likely is it that Tessa Blanchard debuts with WWE or AEW before the year is out? Where's her likely landing spot? I think if she does, she'll debut with WWE, and I think it's possible. I think it's very possible. I don't think she'll go to AEW. After the Kyle O'Reilly Finn match, an Undisputed Era has nothing to do on NXT, wouldn't it be best for them to get drafted to SmackDown to have them compete with Cesaro, Shinsuke, and Cole compete for the IC title? I don't think Cole's going for that IC title. I think Cole's going to be a main eventer. SmackDown's the best spot for him, though, that's for sure. Oh, man. I just want to see them do something good. And I do think they've done everything they can possibly do in NXT besides Kyle O'Reilly as a top guy. So I guess we'll just have to see how that unfolds. Do you know if this week's takeover is being held at the Thunderdome? I do not know. I just know that Triple H said that it's going to have a unique look and feel. I don't know what the idea is as of yet. Funny how I asked about Ray Rosas a couple weeks ago and he showed up on AEW Dark this week. What did you think of his performance if you saw it? I think that he had a good performance and is battling an awful lot of other competition. But that's the good thing. AEW is developing relationships with these talent and they're being able to assess them. I think Dark is just an unbelievable platform. Right now, I don't think AEW needs an NXT. They've got Dark and it's working really well for them. What's the status on Steve Corino? I think he's locked on staying with WWE because they've got his son working as a security or Raw Underground. That has nothing to do with it. He's just in WWE. He works for WWE. Steve Corino does. That's what's up with him. If Raw and SmackDown are run by the same people, why is there such a difference in one and the other? Focus. It's really the extent of it. What are some of the hurdles that prevent wrestling companies from talent exchanging? Pay, who benefits, and who goes over? Zach Amon says, there's been some massive heat on Flip Gordon's personal views in regards to current event. Has ROH management spoke to him? Not that I've heard of. ROH management right now is kind of in flux because of the Marty situation, but I don't think that anybody's talked to him. I mean, I know that there are people that are in ROH that are super conservative, and there are some that I know on a personal level that are super liberal. So it's going to be all over the place, but I don't... Oh, God, some of those things he says... Woof. Ali says, do you think War Games and Survivor Series should just merge? I don't know what that means. I do think that an Elimination War Games match would be good. Does WWE have to pay money to CFOs every time one of their theme songs is played during their shows? I think so. If the Reds win the World Series, will you convince Jimmy Van to send them replica Fightful Championship belts? Yes, I will. I will make that happen this year. Rob says, which WWE brand do you see me getting drafted by? I weigh too much for 205 Live. NXT UK, for sure. I grew up, like many fans, reading Bill Apter and PWI, and you worked with him. What is something you learned from him during your time at PWI? Well, I didn't work for PWI. I've never done anything with them. I worked for One Wrestling. Not to run unsubstantiated rumors. I remember when Awesome Kong was pregnant, and I sent him a message. I said, hey, have you heard? I didn't see the story up there. Awesome Kong, I think she's pregnant. She's going to be off TV. And he's like, have they announced that? And I said, no. And he's like, have you talked to her? And I was like, no. He's like, okay, we can't run it. That was one of the main things I learned. Rob says, when you were training, did you ever train Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu? Yeah, that's one of the things I started off with. I started off with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I recommend that a lot of people do start off with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. It's a little easier to kind of get into. And then within the year, I was training Catch as Catch Can Pro Wrestling. I think one of the first grappling tournaments I did was when I was training jiu-jitsu. Do people in WWE know that fans are sick of the same matches week in and week out, or do they just not care? Oh, the wrestlers know. The wrestlers know for sure. Ali said, what do you see happening in the future for Jeff Hardy with his redemption story? Do you think they'll give him another WWE title or Universal title reign? I do not. I think his redemption story has maybe a few more things to tell. Like, I think there's some, they can go to some interesting thing based on how he performed and lost in the ladder match. But I don't need to see him compete for the Intercontinental title again. I've seen it. I don't need to see anybody troll him about being an addict. I've seen it. I don't think he'll be world champion, though. Just curious if you've heard anything regarding Samoa Joe's in-ring career. He's not still injured, is he? I'm not sure. I will ask about that. I'll find out. Kevin Steet says it doesn't seem to be a hit with viewers, but have you heard any backstage thoughts on Okada's money clip? I talked to one person about it a while back, and they said that they thought that he could get it over because he could get anything over. It ain't landing with me. You gotta adjust it. Sit out with it or something. Dev says, what is your number one career goal, and what has been your number one career highlight? My number one career highlight is getting hired by Fightful. I wanted to make a comfortable living covering pro wrestling. There are a lot of other higher paying jobs that I could have taken outside of wrestling and within wrestling even, but I love Fightful so much and what we do here. And Jimmy is good to me. We bust balls on that Wednesday show. Jimmy has been incredibly loyal to me when we were not making money. And I've had some very good offers to leave, even before we were making money, to leave. And I could have just abandoned things. And I was like, you know what? He stuck with me through all that time when we weren't making money. And I was letting my creative vision kind of unfold. And he believed in me. So I'm going to believe in him. And I'm going to be loyal to him and what he has allowed me to do. Being able to help other people become full-time covering wrestling, that's been a big one. I like that because I want people to be creatively satisfied. So Jeremy, I give him like whatever creative freedom that he wants, because I know that when we do that, I know that the other work that he does, the standard work that he does, where he'll write an article about Mike Tyson returning to AEW or Drew McIntyre winning a title, I know it'll be good in that regard. My number one career goal was make a living doing this, and that's really what I want to do. I want to make a living covering pro wrestling, giving you all honest news and cool content. That's it. I don't want to make, like, I mean, would I like to make six figures a year? That'd be very cool. Is that a goal? Not really. I want to make a good living, be able to afford a house for myself and my wife that we feel comfortable in. And that's about it. And I thank all of you for having such a major part in making that happen. I will never, ever, ever lose sight of how fortunate I am to be able to do this job. Thank you all so much. That's it for the Q&A show. One of the longest we've done in a while. Over 150 questions. We're out.